Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Michael J. Chase. Michael is a best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and one of today's most powerful voices for creating a kinder world. In 2007, he founded the Kindness Center and is now considered an expert on the subjects of kindness and positive behavior. As a world-renowned leader in personal and spiritual development, Michael reveals how each of us plays a critical role in healing our planet. Michael's work is not aligned with any particular religion or belief system. All teachings are based on the universal language of kindness, which embraces all and excludes none. When he's not traveling, Michael spends time in southern Maine with his loving wife, son, and four-legged best friend, Molly. Today, Michael and I will be talking about his inspiring new book, The Radical Practice of Loving Everyone, A Four-Legged Approach to Enlightenment. Michael writes and speaks with humor about how to live a life of kindness and love. I'm excited to have him on the show. Michael, are you there?
Good afternoon. Hi, Margot.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good because I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing that my neighbors are shoveling and snow blowing and I don't have to. So we're in the middle of a snowstorm. So I'm happy to be inside talking to you instead of being outside in the freezing cold.
Yeah, it's so hard to remember that there's snow in other places in the country. Here in California, it's a little gray today, but mostly we have only had just one day where it was raining, and we need rain here.
What's the temperature there today?
I don't know, but it's not super warm, but compared to where you are, it's probably
like 20 here. So if it's above 20, then you're blessed today because it's very cold here, very cold.
Yeah, it's all relative what you think is cold.
Now,
today, I'd love to talk to you about your book, Loving Everyone. I just love that title. And as soon as I saw the picture of the dog that you were going to have on the cover and the cover of the book, I just had to read it. I totally got curious about how you could love everyone, which seems so impossible, and how you got the idea. So you want to tell us a little bit about how you got the idea to write the book called
Absolutely.
Loving Everyone?
Yeah, and it's a tough subject too, because you know, living in a world where you know we encounter so many different personalities, and you know, and it's hard to love, especially out there in California. You know, I've been in Los Angeles, and it's hard to love everyone in that traffic out there, and it's hard, you know, and it's hard to love that difficult person that you work with, or that neighbor, or you know, we all have people in our lives that you know, they can push our buttons. So to say that we can love them, that can be a tough sell. So writing this book, I knew that there would be some challenges along the way. And actually, when I started the book, I had one idea, and then it just turned into something totally different. But it was inspired originally by something that my grandfather had told me before he passed away. He just was an amazing man, had so many friends, and just a wonderful life. And mm-hmm. before he died, I had that opportunity to sit down and, you know, kind of tap into those secrets. It's like, what is it that you do that just makes everybody want to be with you, and you know, you're happy, and on and on and on. And his simple answer was that, you know, he lives his life by a code of just trying to love everyone and accept everyone. And that was really his spiritual practice, is accepting everyone unconditionally. Didn't matter your race, your religion, your belief system. I mean, none of that mattered. He just saw you in just an open-hearted way and accepted you. And so that was my original inspiration for writing the book. And then I started to break it down and look at, okay, you know, all the different spiritual masters, you know, with Jesus and Buddha, and then, you know, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, these masters of loving others. And the outline was coming together, but just it just didn't feel right. It almost felt like, okay, this book has been written, and I'm just retelling, you know, what all these other spiritual masters have said. So I got frustrated. I put the project aside, and the very night that I told my wife that I was going to give writing a break and and maybe save it for another time, 2 o'clock that morning, I was woken up by you-know-who, that fuzzy face on the front of the cover. And, you know, at first, you know, because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you get freaked out, you get upset, and she just, you know, she just licked me in the face, this nasty, awful breath. And I'm like, what are you doing? Get away from me. And
I can
then
totally
I was just
picture it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic. I think a lot of people that have dogs have had that experience. And as I was lying there, just kind of, you know, patting the top of her head and trying to go back to sleep, then it just, like, this major epiphany. It was like, oh, my gosh, who do I know that unconditionally loves all, non-judgmental, lives in the present moment, has all these incredible spiritual characteristics? And it sounds crazy. Cause it's like, well, people say, well, it's a dog. But then I started to think, okay, what's the essence of unconditional love? Well, when you spell dog backwards, what do you get? And so it just started to develop from there, and it turned into an amazing journey of sharing my experiences with this, as you know, this loving but very crazy, crazy dog.
Oh, I know. The stories you tell about Molly in there are so amazing, and I can really see how she helped you understand about loving everyone and being in the present moment, all of those things that you were talking about, you know. And I can also imagine that she, you know, especially after some of the stories, the trouble that she can get into. Even our cat Bender that we love dearly, he gets into a lot of mischief too. And sometimes when I'm trying to meditate in the morning or write my morning pages, he'll be jumping up on things and I have to spray him with a water bottle and try and get him down.
Yeah, they can drive us nuts, but at the same time, they, you know, all animals, they have these spiritual lessons to teach us. And I love what Eckhart Tolle said something. It was really, really beautiful. I've got it right here in front of me on my desk. It says, thought subsides when you pet your dog or you have a purring cat on your chest. Even just watching an animal can take you out of your mind. It is more deeply connected with the source of life than most humans, and that rootedness in being transmits itself to you. Millions of people who otherwise would be completely lost in the conceptual reality of their mind are kept sane by living with an animal.
Wow, that is powerful. I love that.
It
was
really
that in
is.
The book? I don't remember if it was in the book.
It is in Eckhart did a retreat many years ago. It's called the Findhorn Retreat, and there's a small book that comes with two DVDs. And it's funny, I just received this last night. My friend John that I talk about in the book, learning his Buddhist teachings, he gave this book to me last night. He stopped by and dropped it off. And it was just so interesting for me to read this page here before we actually started the show. It just seems perfect.
Oh, so this is something totally new that just came to you last night
that ties in with it
beautifully.
Yeah, this I just received this book last evening, and I opened this earlier, and I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. So it just seems like a perfect fit for what we're talking about here.
It really is. And you know what else is, too, is I was looking through the endorsements in the first part of your book, and the one from Louise Hay is wonderful. She says, I believe animals are on the planet so we can know love and compassion. We are profoundly connected to our pets more than we are usually aware of, and Michael J. Chase captures that love In the Radical Practice of Loving Everyone. I happily endorse this book. And I agree with her. I second that. I happily endorse your book. I enjoyed it right from the very beginning. And I found myself laughing out loud so often and reading parts to my husband. And he would be chuckling. And he's even you've even inspired him to consider writing a book about called The Purr Factor, about how, you know, things that make people purr, and about how animals are in the present moment and how they can bring you back to just loving and being in nature and being natural time, you know, instead of all the rush, rush, rush.
I totally agree. And that is so important right now, because as we're being thrust, you know, faster and faster into the digital age and the way technology and social media and everything's coming at us so quickly, and we are simply not living in the moment. And I know that I'm just as guilty. One minute I'll be checking a social media page, next minute I'm answering email, next minute I'm working on a project, and I have to remind myself time and time again. And this is what Molly has, you know, reminded me as I observe her every day. Just be in the moment. You know, just one thing at a time, whether she's stealing my laundry, running through the house like she did earlier, or, you know, just being playful. And, so it's such a one of the most talked about spiritual practices that we hear time and time again, is just live in the moment, because that's where life happens.
It's so true. And one of the lessons that Bender, our cat, has taught me is how he can, I love how he can be totally relaxed and yet totally alert. He can be lying there napping on my lap, and all of a sudden he'll look around and he sees a bird or something out the window.
Yeah.
And he's just up and he's over there at the window right away. But he just does what feels right in the moment. He doesn't sit there planning out how he's going to live his day or his week. He just goes to the moment, to the moment, to the moment, and nature loves the moments.
It's so true, and they're incredibly intuitive. Like you were just mentioning about, you know, noticing that bird, or, I mean, it's profound the way they can be just lying there, but the most subtle shift of energy in your home or even outside on the street, it's like they pick up on that immediately. It's like very young children and animals have that sensitivity that sadly many of us adults, we lose touch with. And and so many of us that are on the spiritual path, I think what we're trying to do is to get that back and back to the essence of who we really are.
Yeah, to really enjoy our life. That my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, is really basically about that too. It's about loving people, loving animals, loving nature, loving life. It's about love, you know, and enjoying the time that we have on this beautiful planet, which isn't very long. No matter whether we have a real short life or a really long life, it goes by really, really fast. And
yeah, in the blink of an eye. And you know, of course, there are no guarantees. We don't know from moment to moment. Is this our last breath? And so you do have to live with a heart of gratitude, and like you said, just take those opportunities to just love everyone around you, and even the difficult people, because those, as I'm sure you're well aware of this, those are our greatest spiritual teachers, you know.
They
the
are,
people
and they
that
also
drive
need,
it crazy.
They also need it the most, too, you know.
Right,
I mean, that's part of
right,
why
absolutely.
They're behaving that way is because they don't feel loved. And they don't feel loving. And that brings me to this quote that I love from that was in your book by you. The key is to stop thinking of love as only an interpersonal experience. By understanding the essence of love, which is divine and all-encompassing, we begin to have options. It can be delivered in a variety of ways, romantic, spiritual, parental, an act of kindness, and even tough love are just a few ways we can offer it to those around us. Self-love is where it all begins, though. We cannot authentically give away what we do not feel toward ourselves. And I think that is such a key part of how we can love everyone. And actually, it's the practice. The book says right there, spiritual and practice. It's the practice of loving everyone. It's not just that we're going to do that all the time, but we can practice that, right?
Right, absolutely. And again, starting with that self-love piece, which I know Louise Hay has been a big source of inspiration for you and and for me as well. And I've been extremely fortunate to to travel with Louise and many of the Hay House authors and get to know her. And boy, talk about someone who truly practices what they speak about, write about. I mean, you just get anywhere in the vicinity of where she is, and you just feel this unconditional love that radiates from her. That's been a powerful lesson that I need to learn over and over again, is to love myself without ego, and I think that's what self-love gets a bad rap. People think, well, you're being self-centered, you're stuck up. It's like, no, that is the ultimate relationship right there. There are two relationships that you've got to focus on before you can really be in, with a spouse or a friend or a relative. I think that divine relationship, whether you call it God or Source or whatever works for you, to have that, and then to have that spiritual relationship with yourself. When you love and appreciate who you are, then opening your heart to others, it just becomes natural. It becomes a part of. It's more about being than doing, and when your beingness is shining, then loving others becomes an effortless practice every single day.
That was one of the things I loved in your first book, which I also recommend, Am I Being Kind is the title, that is the having a to-be list, not just a to-do list.
Yeah, we forget, huh? That's an important thing. We're not human doing.
Yeah, to be kind, to be loving, to be in the moment, to be kind to ourselves, too, and I think a lot of times people are hardest on themselves. They think that if they're really hard on themselves, they're going to shape up and they're going to get their life in gear. But, we really have to be able to love ourselves, and that's really been a huge lesson for me. And my mom was one of the most unconditionally loving people in the world, and in fact, my husband called her the world champion of unconditional love, and with five of us. Yeah, she was amazing. I'm the first of five, and she made every one of us feel like we were totally loved and like we were her favorite, but not in a way where it didn't seem like there was a favorite. She managed to show us that you can love everyone, and it doesn't have to be just one person that you love. And with Valentine's Day coming up, It can be a time when people need to remember that how much fun Valentine's Day was when we were little kids. I don't know about you, but in our school, everybody would give each other Valentines, the little Valentines.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so much fun. And Valentine's Day, the whole month of February, I think of as a month of love. And so that was so much why I wanted to have you on the show today, is to talk about this idea of loving everyone and how we can celebrate Valentine's Day with everyone, including the animals that we have in our lives.
That's so true, that Valentine's Day doesn't have to be a relational, holiday or time period. It's a time when we can open our hearts to ourselves, to friends, to a complete stranger. It's a beautiful time to go out and perform random acts of kindness. I've learned so much. Well, one of my greatest teachers is Leo Biscaglia. And his books, his lectures have had such an impact on my life. I love this man, and he died in 1998.
I feel the same way. Yeah, was it 1988? He's been gone that long.
Ninety-eight was when he passed. Yeah, just such a beautiful, beautiful man with so many. I mean, he is he was the master of love, and that's what he was known as, the love doctor.
I know.
And he talked so much about this time of the year, about, you know, Valentine's Day. He became like this national hero, you know, and everybody looked to him and you know. But, yeah, that's someone that I always encourage people to, you know, if you really want to learn about love, Leo Buscaglia is a great, great place to start, too.
He really is. And I remember, I think it was him that said that for us to stay together as long as we both shall grow instead of as long as we both shall live.
Yeah. It's so true that, you know, it's about growth. And that's what I've been so blessed with. I have an amazing, supportive wife that, you know, we have chosen a very similar path. And it sounds like you have that same relationship with your husband and sharing
mm-hmm.
Your path of spirituality and
mm-hmm.
And just growing together, and that right there is it's something you just can't put a price on. You know, we get so wrapped up in what we need in life and what's important, and we think about our homes and cars and our bank accounts and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. But growth with another human being, and it doesn't have to be a spouse. It can just be that friend, that amazing friend that you can walk the same path together and grow together. And that is just a beautiful, beautiful experience.
It's so true. And the other thing, too, though, is that the more that you can be happy with yourself and be clear on what your core values are, then the more likely you are to attract that other person into your life, and then once you do, for it to be a really growing and wonderful experience.
Boy, you are so right there. That whether you call it, you know, the law of attraction or personal magnetics
mm-hmm.
or karma or, you know, whatever kind of energy you believe in, but you really... You hit it big time right there, because if you don't love yourself, then you tend to attract other people that may be radiating the same energy, or they may not just be a good match with you. But when you truly care about who you are, it seems that the universe begins to give you the right people that will help you grow. And you begin to grow together instead of attracting that individual that... You know, at first it may seem like a good thing, but it doesn't take long before you're like, okay, this is, you know, it's like you're repeating a story, because it happens a time and again and again and again to some people. And I'm speaking from experience, a time when I just did not love myself. I didn't even like myself. And I was attracting the same type of relationships over and over again. And they were very unhealthy ones. And
mm-hmm.
when I started to do some work on myself and really come to appreciate what I had to offer the world, and again, in a non-egotistical way, but to
mm-hmm.
you know, be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what, you're not so bad, and you've got this and that that's great about you, and when you come from that place, then you begin to attract the ideal spouse or partner or friends or work environment, or, and the list goes on and on and on. But, yeah,
that,
boy,
yeah,
you
that
you
is
nailed
so
it.
True. Yeah, that's so true. And I had the same type of experience myself, because my self-esteem was so low. I felt so isolated, so lonely, and so disconnected from people during high school and even during college. And it was once I started reading books like Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude and Wayne Dyer's book Your Erroneous Zones back in, those were the two of the first books that I read, I started realizing that I could change how I felt about me, and if I loved me first, I think Wayne was the first one that helped me realize that I had to love me first, and that love could actually be not about people trying to please you, but you accepting them, loving them, meant that you would accept them whether they do what you want them to or not.
Mm.
And that's,
yeah.
that's when you start becoming happier with your life, and then you start being able to radiate that love out to everyone that you see. And, hey, we all have our moments. I love it.
Absolutely.
I love the way in your book you have it divided into the three sections. The part one, in the beginning was the word, and the word was dog. And part two, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and oh, that is so true. And part three, a new leash on life instead of a lease on life. I love that. But you have so many wonderful ways of putting humor in this while you're writing about it, and so many wonderful chapters in here. And one of my favorites, we're starting to run out of time, we only have about 4.5 minutes left, but was the Everyday Heroes chapter, and where you talked about your mom and what a hero she was in your life. And mine was too, you know, they just were people that, sounds like your mom was too, you know, where it just made life so much more joyful just to be with them because of their outlook and cheerfulness and them being loving to everyone that came around them.
So true. And yeah, and she's been a great teacher in my life and continues to be, even though she has health problems and she struggles. I mean, she gets up and just sees all of the good in life. And she always talks about, wow, you know, there are other people out there that have it much worse than me. And it's like, but Mom, you're still in pain. You have to, you know, honor that. And she's, and she just keeps on going. And she just sees positive, positive, positive. And so, yeah, when I had that experience that one day that I wrote about in the book, it was really special to be able to include her. And the book was just, I didn't know what direction it was going to go. One minute it was a fun, you know, funny, uplifting story with my mom to other experiences that were maybe a little more heartbreaking, people that I was meeting. And so yeah, there were just so many wonderful moments, and it's just been such a blessing to be able to share it with people.
Well, it's full of wonderful stories, and you're an amazing storyteller. And I remember Cheryl Richardson talking about that the best speakers were authentic, likable, funny, and unique, and you are all four of those.
Oh,
totally.
As thank
a speaker,
you so
but also
much.
As a, an author, and I highly recommend people check out this book and get it, The Radical Practice of Loving Everyone, A Four-Legged Approach to Enlightenment. And it's just a delightful book. It's a small book. It doesn't even take that long to read. And you can take it anywhere with you, too, because of the size. I love that about it. So, and also, I wanted to mention to people that you were the founder of the Kindness Center. I had mentioned that at the beginning, and that is such an important part of who you are, and you write about that in this book also, about a special thing you did called 24 Hours of Kindness. And I love that part as well.
Yeah, it's a big part of my work has been, you know, really built on that foundation of trying to create a kinder world, you know, to inspire people to be kinder to themselves, to others, to animals, and of course our beautiful planet. And that's really my mission in life through everything that I do. And it, you know, it's something that we all have to work on, and myself included. I mean, I was given the title the kindness guy many years ago, but trust me, I can be the jerk guy at times too. You know, I'm a human being, and I struggle, and I have to, you know, often I even revisit my own books. You know, if I'll go back to a book, and say, you know what, I need to start practicing this. I wrote about it. I teach it to people, and so, but you have to go easy on yourself. And again, just you know, we're all human, and we all stumble. But as long as we have the intention of getting back on the path and growing and moving forward, then all is well.
Yeah, all is well. Well, we only have a few seconds left and about a minute left, and I just wanted to say that next week's show on February 12th, my husband Dudley is going to be my guest, and we're going to be talking about love and Valentine's Day, a little bit about how we met, ways to attract love and to enjoy loving relationships in your life. And also I'll be playing one of my favorite songs by him, a song called Found in Time, during the show. And I'll be posting about that on Facebook and Twitter. But, Michael, your website is being reworked right now. And it's probably going to be back up in another week or so, maybe?
Yeah, we're hoping by the weekend. We're just kind of revamping things, freshening things up. We're offering you know, some new services and then my online course. We're just kind of getting everything together, but in the next few days, we hope to have the site back up. It's michaeljchase.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Michael. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Margo. I hope we can do this again. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.